Well, amen. I don't know if I've got anyone on or not. I don't know that I'm coming across. Let me see if I can pull this up here. Well, I love having my phone. Actually, it's just Sarah's phone up here. Let's see, should be live right now. See if I've got anyone with us. I don't know. I don't know if it's working or not. Sarah, do you want to see if that's showing anyone coming on? I'm not. My new program is messing us up, and I don't know. I'm not showing anyone's on. So if you are, bear with me a minute while I catch up with you. Is it showing anyone on or anything? No, yeah. They've redone it, so I don't know. I've got Sister Sarah's phone here, so one of you ladies that has Sister Sarah's phone number, send her a text. And if you're watching tonight, so that I know that it's coming through. We're going to start off on page number 423. Joy to the World. I know you say, preacher, we're going to start with Christmas music. You'll be all right. It's good. Listen to the words of it. So often, the world corrupts it, and I'm thankful it's not about a reindeer. It's not about a snowman that's some magical hat. It's not about some overweight man in a red suit. But instead, I'm thankful it's about my Savior. And if I'm going to celebrate it, I love the fact that I can celebrate a risen Savior. I am thankful He came. Good old Isaac Watts song, 423, let's stand here, 423, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. On the third, no more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love. Amen. I still don't know if we're getting anyone coming on. Amen. All right, Sister Lindsay, if you are on tonight with Brother Richard, send Sarah a text so that I know, because I think you're all afraid to send everyone, sending one. And Sister Sarah said you'd have your phone with you, so she didn't. But amen. All right, 429. 429, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. 429. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold Him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, veiled the incarnate deity. Pleased as men and men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. On the third, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. On the last verse. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Sir, if you would, call one of them, see if it's on. Otherwise, I've got something wrong. I know, you can, I got a text. Amen. Is Brother Jeff having problems, connection, or is this Sister Woody? All right, so let me see if I can figure out what's going on. Something's not on YouTube. Amen. Bear with me a minute here. I'm going to stop this in this session. Go live. I don't know if I have anything now. Yeah, text Sister Woody and see if it's come on now. I've definitely made some adjustments. Amen. Amen. All right, Sister Woody's getting back with us. Hopefully we're on live now. I apologize. This kind of goes back to the reason I want to be able to push a button, promote YouTube, let folks know we've got a YouTube page. I need 1,000 subscribers to just go live and cut out the third party. I've never been a fan of the middleman. If I can cut him out, I try. I'm not on yet. I don't know. Let's see. Oops, something's not on. I got something not right. Why is it not rotating? If I'm on now, technical difficulties. I know, once again, goes back to we need that 1,000 subscribers. Right now, if I'm sideways or upside down. I've got my for some reason this it worked fine this morning. It did not flip tonight, so I might have to readjust the camera. I don't know. It's working. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to have you. I'm glad you joined in with us. And Sister Sarah's going to bring me the phone. My beautiful wife is going to bring me the phone. She doesn't want to go on the camera. Amen. Well, that's how much she doesn't want to go on the camera, is she was willing to throw her phone. Amen. Well, take your hymn books. We've already sang a couple songs while you guys were out there and not coming through land. And so take your hymn books. Turn over to page number 431. 431. Silent Night. 431. Amen. And I've got another song that I'm wanting to sing since you guys are all late getting here. Amen. 431, Silent Night. Here we go. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light. With the angels let us sing Alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Amen. Well, just one second here. Turn over to page number 227, Saved by the Blood. I was singing this earlier while we were getting stuff around, and I'd already picked out the songs, and I said, you know, I was just talking to myself as I was up here leading songs, having technical difficulty. It doesn't really matter if YouTube's working or not. It really doesn't matter if I'm able to record. Last Sunday night, I didn't get the tie mic on, or battery was out, or battery stopped, whatever it was, but we didn't have last Sunday night's recorded on CD, and there's... One thing that COVID has taught me is how much I hate sound systems and technology in that sense, because the moment you think you've got it going, it shuts down, and I don't necessarily know why, it just does it, but I'm thankful that I'm still saved by the blood. 227, let's stand here as we get started. Saved by the blood. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The angels rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father, join heir with the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. On the third, saved by the blood of the crucified one. The Father, He spake, and His will it was done. Great price of my pardon, His own precious Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father. All hail to the Son. Sorry. All hail to the Spirit, the great three in one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Let's sing that verse one more, or that chorus one more time. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to have everyone. I know some of you are going, well, we only sang two songs. Actually, we sang four. We sang two songs before I ever got the YouTube working right. But nonetheless, I'm thankful to have you with us. You know, boy, I love that song, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. We were looking this morning at the reason that Jesus came. It wasn't to just have a birth. In fact, the birth was just the way He came. The reason He came was to die, and He came for me, and He came for you. We were back there, Sister Sarah's getting all the decorations changed out for the church and getting everything around. And Sister Bond, when Brother Bond and Sister Bond were here with us at our missions conference last year, they had left their little box that it says, "Who did Jesus die for?" And you push the little drawer and it opens up and there's a mirror in there. And Jeremiah, I'd set it down to help Sarah while she's putting the tablecloth and getting everything around. And he said, "You know, what's this say?" And I told him, and we opened it up, and he said, "Because Jesus died for my sins." Boy, I'm thankful that He not only died for the sins of all the world, but He died for mine personally, and He died for yours personally as well. And so I'm thankful for a Savior that loves me so personally that He came for me specifically. And boy, I don't ever get over that. And so as we come tonight, I'm thankful we can worship, we can rejoice. And I realize right now we aren't having Sunday night services, and so your place is to be in front of that YouTube and be ready, and we're going to have service together, and we're all going to rejoice together. But listen, if you're able and health-wise and you're not one of them at the high risk, and you need to be here on Sundays mornings and Wednesday nights, that's your place of worship, is to worship in God's house with God's people. And I'm thankful that we can all come together. Had a great service this morning. I enjoyed it even if you didn't. Amen. And I'm thankful we were able to have that. I hope that I have not went back and watched all the YouTube. I know that this morning recorded, did not have the live chats. I still haven't figured out how to get them back up on my phone to where I can see them before the service is closed out. But nonetheless, the Lord will give us wisdom on that. And so continue to promote the YouTube. It would be so wonderful to be able to just push a button on my phone and not have a third party that we need to go through. And so please, let others know. Subscribe. You say, "Preacher, they don't want all the notifications." It's okay. They'll be all right. If they would subscribe, it would be a blessing to us that we could have that information help us, or their subscription will help us. Not so that we can get some monetary money or monetary funds from YouTube, but it's so that we can have less glitches and just be able to push the button instead of a third party being relied on to provide the service. So do promote it and let others know. You've got your Bibles tonight. I definitely feel out of place. I don't know how many times I've prayed, if I have or if I haven't, and if we've stood or sat or whatever. But anyway, get your Bibles. Turn over to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. We are going to get started right. Everything can be just crazy. And come up here behind the pulpit, open up the Word of God, and God just gives the sweet spirit through it. And so I want us to calm down a little bit. I want us to come to that place where we're ready. Put everything out of your mind that has distracted you tonight. And I know some of you are going to go, "Preacher, I was just kind of waiting on things to come on." And Sister Woody, I appreciate you letting us know. Here I was talking to the air, and Sister Eder and Brother James are in my pocket. And we've got everything going through and around, and nonetheless, the Lord knows what He's doing and what we need tonight. So Luke chapter number 2, if you're there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria." Verse number 3, "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as a spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Lord, thank You for the technology that we have, that as much as we've got these limitations, we've got these directions. And Father, I am thankful we have a governor that hasn't told us that we can't have service. But instead, Lord, we try to come to the place where we're trying to be safe. We're trying to be able to provide everything that's necessary for our church, Lord. And Father, truly, we know that You're that. But, Lord, I'm thankful for the safety that You've given us. And, Lord, through this technology and through all of these means that we've had, Lord, You've just made Your way. We still have visitors. We're still able to do. And, Lord, I pray that You would help us to strengthen the things which remain this year. But, Lord, would You do a work in our heart? Because we truly are the area that needs strengthened. Our faith, our filling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would have less of us to where there would be more of You. Lord, would You just touch us tonight? Have Your will and way in the service. And Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look at this passage of Scripture, and I know I used it this morning as a springboard to take us to some other places, and the fact that Jesus came and why He came. But tonight I'd like to look at what made the difference. I look at this account and I see everything that's going on in these first seven verses, and I find two individuals specifically that I want to start off with. And I find Joseph and Mary. And just to consider their testimonies a little bit, we know that the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 1 and then again in Matthew chapter number 2, we find how Joseph was a man, a just man. He was a righteous man. He desired he was going to put Mary away privately. He did not want to make her a public example. He did not want to cause her any harm. But she was with child and it wasn't his, and she was betrothed to him. And then I find that he's an obedient man. God had explained and he accepted that explanation. Instead of saying, yeah, okay, this sounds good, but I just don't believe that. Then I find in other cases in Joseph's life where Joseph was this man that as he obeyed the Lord, God had revealed Himself to him. I look, and we'll look at this in greater detail later, but I look at when they had to take flight from Herod, and Joseph was told, not Mary, Joseph was told as the head of that house. And so I look at just Joseph's testimony and what a great testimony he had. This was the man that God desired to raise His son here on earth. I think of Mary. The Bible tells us that she was highly favored of the Lord. To be honest, we usually don't preach a whole lot about Mary because we don't want to be accused of Mariology or Mary worship. But truthfully, Mary was a woman who feared the Lord. A woman who was willing to be a servant for the Lord. A woman who, the Bible tells us, would be honored the rest of her time. She's given credit as that virgin. She was pure. She's given, and by the way, that doesn't just mean that she was pure. She was pure because she had never been with a man. She was truly a virgin. This is a miraculous birth. Miraculous in the fact that God was in it. And so we look at their testimonies and see these two, but may I tell you and remind you that they had difficulties in their journey. If we were to take the account of everything taking place here, from needing to go out and be taxed to the travel to get taxed, just the events, the no room in the inn, the frustration that would have built up. But there was a difference that they had than what others have. Isn't it amazing the meltdown that you'll see when you're stuck in traffic and you look at the individual behind you or beside you or even in front of you, and they're trying. I remember all those years that I would travel back and forth to Hunter from Pembroke, and I would travel on the interstate, and you knew that when you left work that traffic was going to be bad. You knew that it would be bumper to bumper. And yet you knew that there would be someone that had to get there right now. And they would cut and they would weave in and out of traffic, and they would be mad and they would be throwing a fit. The whole time they didn't get there any faster than I did. You say, "Preacher, what's the difference?" That's what I want to show you. That's what I want us to understand. We can have a difference today because we have a Savior. I find here that we're not any different than anyone else. We're still going to have difficulties. We're still going to have trials. We're still going to have heartaches. And we're just pilgrims passing through. We're just strangers in this land. But it's the one who we have that's going to make the difference. Notice, if you would, I find the chaos of the times. The chaos of the times. I look here at this passage of Scripture, and I find in verse number 1 that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, just this alone is discouragement. They went out and, this is legalized robbery. You say, "Preacher, how's that?" Well, that's really what taxes are. Taxes are, I'm going to take what you've worked hard for, and I'm going to take it over here legally now. And you're going to have to pay it to us. And we're going to be able to distribute your goods however we see fit. May I tell you that if someone walks into my house and they desire to take the things that I have and the things that I've worked for, that's called robbing me. That's a thief. I don't like them very much. And yet at the same time, I find this discouragement. You see, everyone in the house had to leave. Everyone in the house was going to have to head down, and each one had to go to their city where their lineage would all be, and this would have been a great big family reunion. That's really what it would have ended up being. These were all those of the line of David. And I find the discouragement just in the whole fact that they've got to even go and travel at this time. And this event that's taken place, and this chaos that's there, the very reason that we find discouragement today. But yet the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, he says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." May I tell you that we'll have some discouragements in our life. We're going to have some trials. We're going to have some times. This decree that goes out, I think of the heartaches within our politics right now. I think of all of the issues that's going on. Of course, we're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. And I don't know how much of it's real. I don't know how. I do know that it's real. I know people that have died from complications with it. And I know you're going to say, "Well, preacher, they died from pneumonia." Listen to me. If there's a sickness that you have that causes the pneumonia to have a stronger hold, may I tell you, it had a significant play in it. But yet, I look and I find that we've got all of this discouragement that's going on. There's no one that's more discouraged that we haven't been able to have the buses. There's no one that's more discouraged than me and the fact that we haven't been able to have Sunday school. We're not here on Sunday night. I'm preaching to a camera and I'm preaching to my wife, and she gets aggravated when I just come over here and I preach to her. She says that I do that enough at the house. And so I look and I find, "Jeremiah, do I preach to mom at the house?" I find that in this time of discouragement, we can still have a difference. The chaos of the times, may I remind you that they're not any different than they were. I could go back to Genesis chapter number 6, and we find that the heart of man, the thoughts of man, everything about man, they were evil in their imagination. May I tell you that it's no different today. They're evil in their imagination. And so I look and I find in the chaos of the times, not just the discouragement, I find the disorder. The disorder. Nothing seemed to be in place. Now, we took John's garden shed behind his house. over at Brooklet. It was termite infested, and they had sprayed, and the termites were gone, but yet there was some damage to it. It had some, the roof needed tore off and replaced. I think it had about seven layers of shingles on it. And we took that, we took it apart, and we didn't save the floor, and we didn't save the roof. I did save the rafters. And took the walls and the rafters, and we took those to our farm there in Claxton or in Evans County, and we put those up. And we begin to build it, and we've got it insulated, and we've got pallet, we've got wood on the inside, and it looks really neat. But there's one problem that I have. Well, there's really a couple, because there's not a shower, and the kitchen is outside, and there's not a bathroom. But you know, one of the areas that bothers me the most is I'm still trying to figure out the bed. I'm still trying to figure out how you have a bed, and this is a 10 by 11. It's not very large, but it's plenty of room for us to be in and just enjoy the time out there and have it so that we can stay all night out there sometimes and just kind of a nice little getaway. And yet, when I wake up in the morning, I want to feel like I've been able to sleep. May I tell you, there's nothing like your bed at your home. I think of all the times that I had deployed in the military. Think of all the nights that I'd spent away from home. I remember when I came back and I'd got out of the military and I was still working at the same hangar on the same airplanes. And yet, I had some of my peers that had came up, and they'd asked me if I regret getting out, and I told them all the hours of overtime that I had worked, and they were like, "Man, it seems like you're never home." I said, "Oh, but my head has been on my pillow every night." There's some times of disorder in our life. There's some times of heartaches and troubles, and no doubt this would have been that time. I think about just her travel and that she's great with child and this disorder. Hold on a second. I don't think my doctor released me to go this far. I don't think that this is the area I need, and everything's out of place. And it seems sometimes that everything's out of place in our life. And yet, they go. And you say, "Preacher, they go because they had to." I'll show you next week that they went because that's what Scripture says. That's where he was going to be born. I look and I find as they got there that all of their family would have been there. I talk about this disorder and the fact that the ones that should have loved them, the ones that should have helped them, the ones that should have given them a place besides the manger, that would have maybe even been there early and went ahead and got them a place, but no, that's not the case. And so I look as well, not just the chaos of the times, I find the concern in their travel. I'd mentioned briefly a moment ago the distance and the fact that she's pregnant. I remember when Jonathan was born, we lived in Kansas at the time, and I guess we were 15 miles away from the hospital. 15 miles away from the hospital. I think it was a 1982 Chevy pickup with a 327 Buick engine in it, 350 transmission, and it had Positrac rear end. And we Sarah had told me that she gave me that sign that something's not right, got to go. And so we loaded up and we went. And that truck, she loved that truck because it had air-conditioned floorboards. Say, "Preacher, what's that?" It's when you can look down and you can see the floor or the road going past because the floor pans are rusted out. And we were in that truck, and yes, we had another vehicle, but that was our fastest one. And I think I had that speedometer pegged, and she's like, "It's not that big of a hurry." I can just imagine here the concern as they're traveling to Bethlehem. The Bible tells us here that Mary is great with child. That means that she's very pregnant. She definitely had the waddles. She had that, I'm leaning back trying to carry this child. And yet, she's going all the way. The whole distance she's got to travel is a concern. Every step, may I tell you, there was no air suspension on the donkey. There was no way that it was comfortable. But she went anyway. You know what we've came? We've been so concerned in our travel that we'll go, but we're just like the children. And sometimes even my older children will tell us or ask us when we are traveling somewhere, they'll go, are we there yet? And I know that they're old enough now that they just do it because they're trying to mess with us. But as a child of God, how many times in our travel spiritually do we come to this idea that we don't have to go very far, or we don't really have to come out of our comfort zone, or everything that God leads us in should be comfortable? Oh, I'm thankful. And we had talked about this during our Thanksgiving service on that Tuesday night before Thanksgiving, and how I'm thankful how God blesses us physically. I'm not just talking about spiritually. He blesses us physically. I'm telling you, we have much greater than what we ever deserve. Our missionary, Brother Pawitsawi, had told us, he's there from South Africa. And he had told me, he said, that Americans are comfortable. I couldn't argue because we are. We're comfortable. But the sad part is we're comfortable in our walk with the Lord. We'll only go so far. We'll only go if it's so comfortable. We'll only go if it's not going to inconvenience me. And I find here that she was inconvenienced the whole way. Do you think Joseph wasn't concerned? Joseph loved Mary so much that when he thought that she had committed adultery against him, that he was just going to put her away privately. He loved her. He was concerned the whole way. And so I look here and I find the detours, not just the distance, but how many times in the detours. How often do you think that we're going to go a certain direction and all of a sudden God puts in a detour and we've got to take a different route? How many stops do you think that they had to make that they didn't expect? May I tell you, that had to have been the longest trip that they had ever had from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Longest trip recorded in history. Why? Because every step they knew. Every detour they had to take, they marked down. Oh, listen to me. There's an idea that we have that says if we're going to do it, we're going to go straight there. And I know, listen, I'm the same. Hey, the closest distance between two points is a straight line. If I need to get to the foyer right now, how am I going to walk right past that camera and I'm going to walk to the foyer? Why in the world would I walk around this way or walk around that way to get there? But I'm telling you, sometimes spiritually, that's what we have to do. Because God's moving us. And you don't know what hazard is right there in the middle. The detours are there on purpose. And so there was concern of their travel. But I'd like us to look. Now, I didn't make those as the introduction, but I'd like us to look at the calm in their turmoil. The calm in their turmoil. May I tell you, first of all, it was because of the presence of God. There was a calm in their turmoil. They had this issue. They had these problems. They were real. But yet they had a calm that people are looking for today, and every Christian should have. First of all, I find it's because they had the presence of God. God was with them before He was born in the manger. Grasp that. Now, I've mentioned that this morning there with Abraham, that Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22 and verse number 13, that the ram was behind them. They had already had to walk up. They had already had to come past. Oh, listen to me. As a child of God, there's so often that we forgot that He's with us. May I tell you that He was with them before He was ever born. And I'm thankful that we have that same promise today. Hold your place now in the book of Luke, but I want you to look over in Mark. Take your Bibles real quick with me. Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter 4. And I know the technical difficulties made us start a little bit later and everything, but bear with me here. Mark chapter number 4. I want you to look at verse number 37. Of course, this is when Jesus is taking them in the ship, going to the other side. There's some other little ships that are with them. Look in verse number 37 of Mark chapter number 4. In verse 37, the Bible says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and so that it was full, now full." That means the ship was full of water that was supposed to be on the outside, but now it's on the inside. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship." Who's the he? Jesus. "He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?' And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm." Listen, I'm thankful there's still the possibility of a great calm today. Even though he's asleep in the ship, may I remind you that he was with them before they ever woke him up. He was able to calm the sea, and they could have been asleep in the ship with him on the pillow and rode all the way through that storm because they would have been safe. He said, "We're going to the other side. I'm thankful as a child of God. I'm safe. I'm going to the other side. Oh, I'm thankful that I can come to him and I can say, 'Master, the ship is sinking. Oh, my ship feels like it's going down.'" I was looking at songs to sing tonight. I came across, I every once in a while, I don't ever have the camera on, don't ever have the CD on, but so there's some times that I'll sing "Old Ship Ahoy." I'm thankful that I was going through life and I seen that ship coming up, that old ship of Zion, and I was able to cry out, "Ship ahoy!" I'm thankful the Master's ear was willing to hear. He was ready. He was desiring, and he lifted me up. And boy, now I can sing, "Jesus saves. Jesus saves." Oh, listen to me. We have the presence of God on our life. There should be a calm the entire time. I'm thankful for Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "And let our conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he said, 'I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee.'" Oh, my friend. I've said it from the beginning. None of this has caught God off guard. But you know what catches the child of God off guard? Is that he's already there. He's already there. Notice, if you would, I find it's not just a calm in their turmoil from the presence of God. I find him as the person of God. Why were they able to be calm? Because he's real. Now listen. I know some folks that have a pretty strong mind. They're able to go through some pretty bad storms. They're able to tough it out. They're able to do it. They can meditate through it. And you say, "Preacher, I thought meditation was what we're supposed to have." No, I'm not talking about that kind of meditation. I'm not talking about biblical meditation. I'm talking about the fact that they've got mind over matter, and boy, I can block everything out, and I can work through this, and I can figure it out, and I'm going to be all right. But you know what I'm so thankful for? May I tell you that every step of the way Jesus was real to them? I'm telling you, I remember before our boys were born, they were real to us. I remember hearing their heartbeat for the first time. I remember, now I didn't get to understand it as much as Mama did, but I remember watching, and I don't know if it was an arm or a foot or what, but I remember watching them as they would move through. Oh, listen, I'm thankful that he's real tonight. I'm thankful that we can really go to him. Oh, I'm telling you, every step of the way, every time that baby moved, he was real. And she had grabbed him and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she was able to hold on to him. He was real. The Bible says, "Cast the cares upon him, for he careth for us." Why? Because he's real. Because he's real. Oh, may I tell you, we've got a world today that said that Christians need to have a Christ so that they can get through the heartaches, so that they can get through the hard times. It's because they're weak. May I tell you, there's some truth to that. Everyone needs him. They just don't realize it. We are weak. But I'm thankful he's not just some figment of our imagination, but he's real. And Jacob had showed me some little blurb or meme. I don't know what you call them. I'm not into all the technology. But he had showed me this man that had said that they had found these books made of lead and copper. And they date back to AD 70. They found them in a cave in Jordan. As they were exploring this cave and studying out this cave, and they found these books, and there's 70-some books written there. And they're bound. They've got a ring completely through them, and they've got to open these rings in order to get it. And they do date back to AD 70, when the church was being persecuted. This is the first glance of early Christians. And you know what he had said? It's proof that Jesus is real. I said, no, I already had that proof without ever finding a book. It's lost in a cave from AD 70. Oh, I'm thankful. Listen, there's going to be a day where everyone's going to understand that God is real. But I can have calm and turmoil, not just because of the presence of God, but also because of the person of God. And so I look, I find as well that they were able to have calm in their turmoil because of the provision of God. The Bible tells us here in verse number 7 of our text in Luke chapter number 2 that they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And some would say, preacher, how awful, how just horrible it is. And we could go to all the reasons why he was in the manger. I showed you this morning as the lamb. That's where lambs were born. I find as well that it was because the shepherds, which we'll look at here in a few weeks in Luke 2, the shepherds were able to come to the manger. Why? Because, well, they weren't allowed to go to the palace. But may I tell you that God always provides? They didn't have a nice, fancy, plush room to be in, but they had a place that God had provided. May I tell you, God knows exactly what we need when we need it. That manger was ready to be used by His Son. Oh, listen. I look at everything that takes place and how God provides for us time and time again. I shared with you earlier, we were just discussing about how God provides for us physically. Why? Because He cares for us. He's our Father in heaven. Listen, I don't worry about what tomorrow is going to hold. The Bible says, seek first after His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so I look and I find there's provision. We could look over at Matthew 2. In fact, you don't have to hold your place in Luke, but turn over to Matthew 2 and we'll finish up here tonight. I look at these provisions that he has. As he's 2 years old or thereabouts, the Bible records him in Matthew 2 and verse number 9 as a young child. We find in verse number 11 that these wise men were come into the house. They saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. Not her, him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gold, or presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That was going to be used. God was already providing. May I tell you that God's already provided for us? How many? Now, I'm not talking about going out and stocking up all the toilet paper and the paper goods. But how many people have looked at COVID as a need to change lifestyle and not live for today, but understand that God's wanting us to live for tomorrow? I'm not talking about trying to build a bigger barn. But I'm talking about living for eternity. You see, God provides us everything today for tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow's blessings, tomorrow's needs are already in place. And His provisions are set. When He had provided those wise men with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they brought it and they presented it unto Jesus, it was used for the provisions for their protection. And we'll look at that here in a moment. God takes care of His children. I have everything I need. And to be honest, if more people were really concerned about what's going to happen and what's going to take place, they'd get their heart right with the Lord. Because it's not about having a stockpile at the house. Because may I remind you that when they tried to stockpile the manna, it had worms. Instead, what we need to do is look for God's provision every day in our life. And the Bible says to be content. To be content in it. And so I look as well, I find that they were able to have a calm in their turmoil because of the presence of God, the person of God, the provision of God, with the protection of God. Look in verse number 13 of Matthew 2. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, and for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And it was there until the death of Herod, and that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. God knows exactly what we need. I think of these that we've lost this year. Got some great preachers that I've known that have went home to be with the Lord. Just recently, Brother John O'Neill had passed away. And Brother Danny and I was talking about that. And he said that his daughter had called him before Brother O'Neill ever passed. And said that her dad wasn't doing well. And she told him, she said, Brother, I don't want you to pray that God would heal him and give him a full recovery. And I know some would say, Preacher, that's awful. I mean, how could a child not want their parent to heal and have a full recovery? Well, you see, Brother O'Neill had already lived a long life. His wife was already home with the Lord. May I tell you, the death of a saint is not a bad thing. I told you that I'm going to the other side. And so I look here and I find that God always protects us. And then He brings us home. And as a child of God, that's not a bad thing, to come home. Oh, my friend, I don't know what might be going on in your life. I don't know what kind of heartaches. I don't know what kind of complications you may be having from everything that's taken place. But I'm thankful you can have a difference. The one that I have, the one that's with me, makes a difference in my life. And here's the great thing. He'll make a difference in yours. I'm not the only one that He promises this to. I'm not the only one that He's going to protect. How about you? Have you came to the place where you said, I need to just set all of this turmoil aside. I need to quit fretting about it. And I need to just cast it on Him. He's real. He's real. And He wants to be your Savior today. You're here. You say, Preacher, I don't know if I died right now that I'm going to heaven. My dear friend, I encourage you. Don't come so that you can pray a prayer. Come so that you can accept His salvation. My dear friend, there's a God in heaven that loves you, died for you, wants to save you for all eternity. And I appreciate the fact that He's waiting. But is He waiting for you? Is He waiting for you? Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I thank You for the goodness that You give us. Lord, I thank You for the technology that we have, that we can come to service right now on Sunday nights, even in the midst of this chaos, Lord, the conflict of everything that's going on. Father, would You help us, and Lord, to just seek Your face. Father, meet with us and speak to hearts. Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. And don't forget, we'll be back here live 7 o'clock in-house and on YouTube. And pray I'll be able to get this new update figured out. They've updated the app that I use for the YouTube. And so pray I can get it all figured out, and we'll figure. You could just get us 1,000 subscribers. I don't know how long it'd take for everyone to make false emails so that we can keep subscribing and have a bunch of of our own church. I don't know, but it'd sure be great to just push a button and go live. So be back with us Wednesday night, and then, of course, 11 o'clock Sunday morning, we'll be back in-house. And appreciate it. Thank you for joining in, and we'll talk to you all later. Have a good week.